Governor, this word has been coming up quite often in Grenada and across the region, been used a lot, fiscal space. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't quite understand what it means and how it works. Could you give us an insight and help us to understand, even for my own knowledge, what it really means and what it's for?
Right. So when we speak about fiscal, we're speaking about government, revenue, and expenditure. Everybody understands income and expenses.
Right.
So it's government, income, and expenditure. That's fiscal.
Mm-hmm.
Space is determined by how much you're earning and how much you're spending.
Between your earning
and your spending.
And your spending.
Right. Now, understand this. If you are earning $50 and you are spending $100, then you are running a deficit of $50.
Right.
Right? Because you're spending more than you're earning.
Right.
So that means you not just have no fiscal space, you're in deficit. What that deficit means is debt.
Because
you have to borrow to finance deficit.
Right.
That $50. Whether you borrow from the local banks, whether you borrow from overseas, or whether you borrow by virtue of not paying people on time, unpaid claims.
Oh.
Right?
So
that's one way of financing the deficit.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is that after a while, the debt gets larger and larger and larger. And after the debt comes what? Taxes.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't pay your debt, so you try to get more money.
Right. You have to get more money, and then it means you have to do more taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the situation. Now, let's then assume you get a hurricane, which destroys your revenue. You still have your expenses, because you still have to pay your public servants, you still have to fix roads, health, education, and so on.
Right.
You see the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting worse and worse and worse. Fiscal space means that you create the capacity by government to be able to have some room, some buffer between what it collects and what it spends.
So that space between collecting and spending.
Right. So fiscal space would mean that instead of collecting 50 and spending 100, you want to get to a position where you're collecting 100 and you're spending 50.
Ah, it's the opposite of that.
Right. Because then you now have a $50, which is space.
That gives you the buffer.
That gives you the buffer. Now, why is that important? Some people say, well, government have things to do, we can't afford. You need to have space to deal with shocks and emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've explained before, after the global financial crisis, Grenada and, in fact, most of the current countries in the currency union had no fiscal space.
Right, because we were heavily indebted.
We were already indebted and in deficit and in debt. Deficits mean debt. So at a time when government should have been spending more to cushion the effect on the population, government was spending less.
Because government did not have
the space. There was no room. And it's not just the space as in revenue and collection and revenue and spending, but it was also the space, the capacity to borrow. Because after a while, when you max out, like you have a credit card, yes?
Right.
The limit is 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
You use up the limit. You borrow using your credit card, using an example everybody could understand, you reach the max. So at a point in time now, even if you want to borrow,
you can't borrow.
You cannot borrow.
Uh-huh.
No fiscal space. Or for the individual, no financial space.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run government like that. Because shocks will come. The nature of the economic cycle is up and down. And from time to time, whether it's a 9/11 shock, whether it's the global financial crisis, or whether it's Hurricane Ivan and Emily, those are all shocks that Grenada experienced over the last 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, even more than that now. 9/11 was, 17 years now. So the point is, what you want to see, and I've been advocating for this, is fiscal resilience, fiscal responsibility, where you do not spend everything you earn. You create a buffer that you can use in times of difficulty to ease the pressure on the population. So, going back to the global financial crisis, during that time, if our governments, including Grenada, had fiscal space, governments would have spent more and we would have got out of the recession a lot faster.
Okay.
There was no fiscal space. The country was maxed out, essentially. So what happened? The recession was longer, protracted, and more severe. Because you're basically cutting when you should be spending more.
Right.
If we have fiscal responsibility legislation, as Grenada now has, it was passed in 2015, same thing as fiscal resilience, then in a period of shock, the government can spend more to cushion the effect. And what that does, it eases the pressure, the hardship on the population, and you get out of recession
much quicker,
much faster. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking 10 years to get back to where you were in 2007, 2008, it could take you 3 years or even less.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two, maybe one, because you can smooth consumption, you can smooth expenditure, because you have the space. So space means a gap between what you collect and what you spend, but it also means your debt has to come down, so that if you need to borrow in after a hurricane, for example,
right,
you have the space on the credit card to borrow.
To borrow.
If your credit card is maxed out at 5,000, you can't borrow. Nobody wants to lend you money because they have no confidence that you'll be able to repay. Mm-hmm. If your credit card is $2,000, you have $3,000. That's space
to play with.
That so you can borrow to help tide you through and ease the pressure on everybody.
So that fiscal space is that which you have available to you to use.
Right. Right. But it comes in various ways. It comes in the difference between revenue and expenditure, so we will call it a surplus, and it comes in your debt. So, for example, in the ECCU, we're targeting a debt-to-GDP ratio of 60%. Right? Debt divided by national income should be around 60%. That's a target agreed by the Monetary Council. At one stage, Grenada was 107%, almost double.
Wow.
Now Grenada is down to, based on the last numbers I saw, around 69.
That means that we're moving quickly.
A lot of progress because of the homegrown program, and of course, including so all the restructuring, the debt, as well as the fiscal reform, the additional taxes obviously were needed to help improve the fiscal situation. Those have helped to basically turn around the fiscal situation in Grenada.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, and the fiscal responsibility legislation was passed to ensure that the government does not go and use the credit card to max out so that you have no space to perform.
Because they could have money there, but if there is not that fiscal responsibility, they could go back and spend.
Program finish, right? IMF gone, things tank, we go back and reckless spending, and before we know it, we have a problem. And then what if a hurricane comes, God forbid?
You're back in the same position.
That's the point. So you have to. So when we call for fiscal resilience, what we're saying is that storms will come, shocks will come. That's the nature of the world in which we live. And our best chance of withstanding the shocks and being able to bounce back quickly and minimize hardship and loss of income and output and employment is to have resilience.
Be ready.
Be ready. At the fiscal level, infrastructure level. Obviously, if you build at category 4, or 5, it is more costly, but if you do that, then you are better able to withstand storm. If you don't do that, a category 3 could feel like a category 5 if you're not prepared. If you had category 1 preparation and you get a category 3, you might feel like it's a 5.
Yes,
it mash up devastation. So you have to build resilience in fiscal terms, in economic terms. So I talk about diversity in the economy, I talk about energy, in social terms, and of course in terms of climate change adaptation and mitigation, a host of things to build resilience in the Caribbean. And that is really what the Caribbean is trying to do now post Irma and Maria, to become the first climate resilient region in the world, starting with Dominica.
So is that a program agreed by the ECCB or the Caribbean islands?
So CARICOM,
yes,
CARICOM, of which we are all members, have agreed to work with the international community and the private sector, including Sir Richard Branson and others, to mobilize resources, because you need resources to do this, to begin to support climate resilience in the Caribbean. and to help us in our journey and our ambition to realize our ambition of becoming the first climate resilient region in the world. So that's CARICOM. So the leadership was at level CARICOM, working with World Bank and Caribbean Development Bank and IMF and the United Nations, and of course the private sector, like Sir Richard Branson and others, who have come on board and said, we are prepared to help mobilize resources from the private capital markets to bring to bear in this area at this time. There's an important area of finance that's emerging called ESG. It's basically economic, social, governance. And that segment of the market, they are involved in supporting green bonds. They basically believe in protecting the environment while getting a profit. So they want to do well and do good.
Okay.
Do well financially and right. Do good in terms of the environment. So that market is growing, and that market allows developing countries to raise green bonds, for example, which they can then use, whether it is to do renewable energy, for example, or to deal with infrastructure, to make your infrastructure more resilient, your housing more resilient, you know, those sorts of areas. So that is what the region, coming out of Irma and Maria, for the last few months, all the travel all over the place and so on, the pledging conference in New York and so on in November, all in at rallying support for this ambition. Because remember, we are among the lowest emitters, but the hardest hit by climate change. What do we do? Before we know it, the hurricane season will be upon us again.
Yes.
We cannot be just like sitting ducks, hoping and praying for the best.
And I believe in prayer.
I believe in prayer. I'm a man of faith. But you also have to, faith without works is dead, right?
Right.
So you also have to get up and begin to do things to help resilience. And of course, we hope the storms will stay away, give us a little break. But the reality is, they will come sooner or later. If we don't get them next year, who knows? But they will come. That's the nature of climate change. That's the nature of the cycle. So we have to make sure we are better prepared. If not, we are starting over all the time.
And that's hard.
Very hard. It's disheartening. It's heartbreaking. If after you've done all this work and then it just gets destroyed in a few hours. So you have to minimize the risk of being wiped out every time there's a major storm in the Caribbean.
So in the way we build, the way our government plan, the fiscal space that you spoke about.
That is part. All of it is part.
All of that is part and parcel.
Of building resilience. The state has to play a role. Because if the state is not able to function at a time when you should be helping people, you're going to have to put an adjustment program. You'll have to increase taxes at a time when you should be spent. You just have no fiscal space. You just will not be. So it is wisdom to plan now. Build a buffer. Do not spend everything you earn. Keep your expenditure managed. Maximize your revenue by ensuring your efficiency of collection. Because revenue is not just about increasing taxes, but sometimes it's about increasing tax administration, the efficiency of collection, to make sure that you have the fiscal space. And by the way, it is not simply a cushion to have to keep and just put down there. It allows you to respond to situations that arise. So now, for example, in Grenada, let me make this granular. Now that our homegrown program has been completed successfully, the government is in a much better position in terms of the fiscal situation of the country. Now you see government could do more fixing our roads.
Because they have more money.
They have more resources.
So
if you notice now, you're starting to see a number of roads get. But the reality is that there's more resources now to begin to help fix roads. You're seeing more investment in education. You're seeing more investment in the health system. These are very important priorities. But if you have no resources, you can't fund them. Right? So it's very important that our nation understands the importance of fiscal responsibility and hold the government accountable. Governments cannot simply run away in reckless spending.
Because they do.
Well, that is their nature, unless they are constrained and held accountable by the nation. And that's why I've made the point. Fiscal responsibility is not a matter for the government. The social partners have to make sure that they keep an eye on that. But I'm very glad to see in the case of Grenada that they've set up an independent panel called the FROC, the Fiscal Responsibility Oversight Committee, aimed at ensuring that the government is adhering or complying with the law. And I was very pleased to see, for the first time in the history of Grenada, in the last budget, pursuant to the law, Fiscal Responsibility Law, Fiscal Responsibility Act, there was a report tabled in Parliament setting out government's compliance with the Fiscal Responsibility Act. That's a first in the region.
Wow.
That's a first in the region.
So
and very important.
So the government and people of Grenada must be congratulated on the work that they've done.
Must be congratulated. All the social partners must take credit for it. But you know what? I'm not sure people even understand the importance of this issue. And I think it's important that we educate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you only understand it perhaps when you don't have the space and you have to pay more taxes.
Right. Well, then you begin to quarrel.
Right. You want to minimize the risk of that going forward by managing it well. Everybody agreed that the sacrifices were required. But now that you've made the sacrifices, I notice government has started reducing a few taxes and starting to look at some of the things in a measured way, which again is a sensible thing. You want to bring relief, but you have to make sure you don't go and put you back in the same position you were in. But everybody has to appreciate the value of fiscal responsibility for successive governments. It doesn't matter who is in government. It doesn't matter who wins the next election. Mm-hmm. Grenada has to maintain fiscal responsibility.
As a country.
In other countries, for example, in Norway, people value that. And if a government were to come in and want to disrespect or ignore fiscal responsibility, they will be punished by the population. In other words, there's a value. It's held as a very important. The Germans as well.
Yes, they're very strict.
The Germans as well. People may sometimes find they're too strict, fiscally speaking. But there's a reason, one of the reasons why Germany is the strongest economy in Europe is because of their fiscal discipline.
They're very disciplined.
They are. Okay. So now the discussion in Germany is about how to spend some of the surplus for infrastructure. Maybe some tax cuts. Maybe for some further investments to continue to modernize the German economy and to continue to make them the powerhouse in Europe. Mm-hmm. But they're in a position of strength to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Without that fiscal space, Germany could not be having that conversation about how to spend.
But because they have taken the decisions, which was hard up front,
correct,
they are benefiting now from...
Correct. And they've maintained it over an extended period of time.
Right.
Across governments. Fiscal discipline in Germany is not who is in government. That's a value. You know, it's funny because I don't know German very well, but as I understand, the word for guilt is the same word for debt in German. Debt and guilt are one and the same word. And that, I think, deep in the German psyche is this issue about being fiscally prudent. So it's not just government. In fact, people expect the government to be fiscally responsible.
It seems so.
And if you're not, they're going to deal with you.
They're going to punish you.
Correct. So I think we have to have a heightened expectation of our government.
Mm-hmm.
And I make this point throughout the currency union, not just in Grenada. I made this point all over the region, and in fact even further afield, that fiscal responsibility must be promoted and encouraged, especially among small states. Where we're so vulnerable to external shocks.
Because we easily are troubled, correct, and rattled by whatever happened.
Correct. I mean, I gave the example in 2005. I've cited that so many times. You look at Hurricane Katrina. And as devastating as that was a small part of the U.S. New Orleans in the state of Louisiana. 1% of U.S. GDP. A small portion of a state in the U.S. Ivan... 200% of GDP, the whole country.
We done.
It's point.
Yes.
So when you understand that scale of magnitude of devastation, given a small state, you have to order your affairs right. You have to put your fiscal house in order because you don't have the room for maneuver. In the state, something happened, they could simply move to another state. They could drive to another state.
Here in the Caribbean, it's very different.
Surrounded by water, with islands.
You're stuck.
You have small space. You move everybody from hotels to something. I mean, we have limitations.
Yes.
So how we manage has to recognize, you know, what it is we have and how best to preserve what we have. And I'm saying development is one part of it, but it starts with your fiscal. It starts with your fiscal situation.
So that's why that word.
That's
is so
why
important.
When you're on a flight, they will tell you, in event of an issue, put on your oxygen mask first, and then you help others nearby. That instruction is very clear. You can't help the person you yourself have no oxygen, and are not in not in a position to render service.
So the same thing with government. Government needs to be sure that you can put on the oxygen mask before you help these people.
That is what the adjustment program was about. That's exactly what the homegrown program was about. Putting on the oxygen mask on the state so that the state can then breathe life, oxygen, into the economy, whether it's roads, health insurance, education, agriculture, young people, scholarships. The money that is now being sold, that's the oxygen. But that is after the state put on its own oxygen mask with a homegrown program.
That's a real.
We need to understand what it is this country has done and must continue to do in terms of preserving those gains. It's very important. And I share the Grenadian experience across the currency union because I lived it. And I really feel there are lessons, useful lessons, for other members in the currency union.
No, but that's a powerful statement you make there. I mean, at least it's clear.
And it comes out of a lived reality.
Yeah.
It's not a textbook.
No.
It's not a theory.
You have lived it.
Lived it.
Big, big difference.
Lived it.
Big, big difference.
So that's instant credibility. Because when you're speaking to people, it's not the IMF, this or this or that. You've been through that. I've been through that. And I can, came out on the other side and I can testify, here is what we went through. Here are the difficulties we had. Here are the steps we've taken or took when I was in Grenada. Along with social partners, because that's very important. It was a partnership. Ministry of Finance couldn't do it alone. Government couldn't do it alone. And here are the results. And here is what we're doing to preserve those results.
So there are clear steps taken to help Grenada to be where it is.
Clear steps.
As we conclude this time together, what would you say about Grenada? Looking at it from the outside now, looking in, and you looking at everybody across the sub-region, where is Grenada? How are we doing as a country?
Well, Grenada, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, I mean, the numbers are clear. Grenada has been able to deliver growth on average in excess of 5% over the period of our adjustment program. That is unheard of.
Wow.
Unprecedented.
5%.
Typically, yeah, because typically when you do an adjustment program, growth declines. Instead, growth increased. It improves.
It's complete opposite of what
complete
normally
opposite.
Happens.
Complete opposite. So that's a remarkable story in and of itself. You look at the debt to GDP ratio moving from 107% to 69%. That's a remarkable turnaround. And my concern now is preserving that. Because I nobody wants to go through what we went through.
No.
During the Great Recession. I mean, I speak, as I said, from personal experience on that. So, the economy is growing. I mean, I look around, I'm tripping around. I've seen a lot of construction going on. I think I saw from the budget document that the construction this year, 2017 now, was around 22%, I think I saw, year on year. But there's clearly, you know, it's good to see that we came together as a country, made some sacrifices, and now you're seeing the benefits.
Reaping the dividend of hard work.
The dividends of the hard work. We sowed, I know we're reaping. And I think as a country, that is something for which a country should be proud. So, Grenada being a member of the currency union, I want to encourage our countries to do what has to be done. Learn from Grenada and learn from each other. There are other areas, for example, St. Kitts is doing extremely well with cruise tourism. There may be a couple of things we can learn from that. Of course, they're further north, so that's an advantage. So we learn from each other, you know. This Grenada Citizenship by Investment Program, Grenada has been highlighted as having the best template for reporting the ins and outs of the program. The IMF referred to it as a gold standard. Because again, during the homegrown program, we had agreed that for transparency, we're going to publish the results on a quarterly basis. And I'm pleased to see, even now that the program has ended, Grenada has continued to do that, which is what I want to see. In other words, this can't be just about the IMF.
Right.
This has to be, it's right, you do it
for
the right reasons.
For us,
do it for us, for ourselves. So, again, that's a model that Grenada has been sharing with other countries. So we share with each other. Different countries have strengths. We learn from each other. But certainly in the fiscal responsibility area, Grenada is leading in that area. And I think Grenada has a lot to share in that regard.
Governor, Mr. Timothy Antwine, thank you for sharing. First, I really want to thank you for coming, and thank you for how you have helped us as permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance in the difficult and challenging, when you couldn't pay salaries, you had to find money. I sure was some night you couldn't sleep working with the PM. Those days, I'm sure, I see you take a deep breath, I'm sure it was very, very challenging.
Very tough. Very, very tough. And I don't want any PS Finance going forward to go through what I went through.
Wow.
And for us to do that with God's help, we have to maintain our fiscalship. And I'm very hopeful the nation will understand the importance of that issue. It's a living reality for me. I speak about it all the time, and it comes out of a deep, deep conviction based on a real experience. So, yeah, I'm glad the country is in a better place, fiscally speaking, and I want to encourage everybody. So, I know we're concluding. I just want to extend my very best wishes to the nation for 2018. I wish everyone a happy new year, progress and prosperity in all dimensions, not just financial, no, health, all dimensions. But I'm hopeful that Grenada will play a very important part in the further development of our currency union. And like always, I'm honored to serve the region as governor, and I want to thank everyone for their prayers and support. I feel it, and I'm always encouraged by the messages that I get. Whether I'm here in Grenada or in St. Kitts, they come, they find me, and I'm very grateful for that support. I want to thank you for the partnership that we've had on this program, Inside Finance. This is why even when I'm on holiday and you call or I touch base with you, we find a little time just to update, just to share. Because it's I really believe it's part of my public service role. And it's one I take seriously.
Mm. Thank you. I must say, listeners, you look good. I can't say it. But
God be praised. God be praised.
He's not losing weight. He looks sharp. He looks upbeat. His face looks shining and glittering with all that's happening in it. So he's good. And I want to thank you very much. And I appreciate you taking the time and come here. But the work you have done to help Grenada to be where it is credit to you and your team at the Ministry of Finance who did. And now we come through the program, the homegrown. We have come out of it now and now looking back. You all have done an excellent job. And I really want to thank you and your team that have worked together to ensure that we are where we are.
Well, thank you. But it was a total team effort. The social partners were key.
I
thank them as well.
And you ask that they continue to be.
To play their role.
It's
nation building. We do it for Grenada and for the currency union.
Thank you very much. I wish you well. I wish you'll give my greetings to your family and to the folks at the bank. Tell them Grenada send all their greetings and thank them for taking care of you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And let me also extend my best wishes to you personally and also to the good people of St. George Baptist Church. I was wanting to give him a heel up.
Yeah, we didn't get you to preach this time, but we're waiting.
In the fullness of time.
We wait.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you. Thank you, folks. All right, you have been listening there to a sit-down with the Governor of Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, Mr. Timothy Antwine. We talk a number of things. So for those of you, this program will be divided into 2 half-an-hour programs. And I'm really appreciative of the time he spent and explaining fiscal space. And explain that was very helpful to me, and I'm sure a lot of people have been asking that question. And the strategic plan of the ECCB, where are they going? And you also go to the website to listen to view and to read the strategic plan and where they're going. And him talking about the currency, what is happening with that, and we're still very strong, 97% still strong against the US dollar. We are holding very, very clear. And I'm sure he continued to do his best to ensure that they succeed. And hiring a number of persons, you heard he explain, from across the region. And 98% of the people... 99% persons from within the central bank come from the currency union. And that is in very, very important. So I want to thank him. And thank you for listening. Go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com. This program will be uploaded there. Share it with a friend. Let him know what's happening in the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank with Mr. Timothy Antwine, the governor. Thank you again. Take care. Join me here next week at the same time on Inside Finance, where we do it all over again. God bless you. I look forward to joining you here. I'm Stanford Simon, thanking you so much for being with me today. Bye-bye.